Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Dr. Abraham Nussbaum. Abraham is with us, giving some talks at the university to the medical students and to the residents dealing with the challenges that physicians experience in modern medicine. But before we get to that, Abraham, you're a child of the Panhandle. Tell us of your origins.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I am a son of West Texas. My mother is from Tulia, Texas, and my father's from Amarillo. They're proud graduates of Tascosa High, and I myself was born at High Plains Baptist in Amarillo.
So you claim this part of the world as your own?
Absolutely. I used to have a good, proud West Texas accent. It was unfortunately beaten out of me on the playgrounds of Colorado at one point. But at one point, I did have the beautiful voice of West Texas.
I was so impressed when you spoke to the fourth-year medical students who will be going into residency real soon. You spoke to them about the world of books and the importance of books. Tell us a little more about that.
I offered them what I called the reading cure. It was such a gift to be with those young medical students. When you're with medical students, it's like they've been sent from the future to replace you. And it's encouraging that the physicians of the future, at least these ones, were interested in what we call the medical humanities. And my counsel to them was that reading can do at least a couple things. One is it can help you survive the current storms of life. And two is that it can help you build up an interior castle, something that can sustain you over time. To describe that, I talked a little bit about my own life.
And you talked about your mother, first of all. I'd like you to start with your mom, because I heard her speak, and she's a wonder in her own right. You talked about your mother's survival early on being based on books. If you would begin with her and then follow it through to your own life.
Sure. My mother, you said she's a wonder, and she is. I'm a big fan. Aristotle says you can't be friends with your mother because you owe her too much. And I would say that I owe my mother many things. One of them is reading. She grew up in Tulia, Texas, in a time of plenty, a time when she watched the town and her own family's life sour. Many aspects of her childhood were rich in family, connections, and in faith, but in many other ways, she was poor. She had a father who abused drugs and alcohol and drank up much of the family's farm in doing so and the family business, and was frankly a violent man. That's her story to tell more than mine. But what I can tell you is that she would clearly say that reading saved her, that she couldn't see a life beyond where she was, and reading taught her that. Reading gave her a sense that there was a world beyond the closed world of her family. Her father died when she was in high school, and she was told that there was no money for her to attend college. She went to Amarillo College. As a result, worked at McDonald's while going to Amarillo College. And she was fortunate enough in the English department to meet a professor who had, I gather, drank his way down the ranks of academia. He saw in some promise in her, and he helped her go to a school called Grinnell in Iowa on a scholarship. It was a whole different world. She tells stories about it, very different than Amarillo. After she finished college and married my father, who's also from Amarillo, they were high school sweethearts at Tascosa. She and my father moved back to Amarillo, worked at the family business. We read constantly. My mother read to us constantly. We were the only people I knew in Amarillo who had a special magazine rack installed in the house where you could look at the current issue of a magazine and then open up a wooden shelf and see the past issues. They were like librarians in their own home. So they took us to the library all the time. And we checked out so many books one year that the Amarillo Library declared us the Library Family of the Year for 1982, and we still have a plaque.
The world of books, how would you describe that in terms of your own interior castle?
The amazing thing about books is that it is the most reliable and empathetic way to experience lives that you can never have a chance of doing so. You can travel back and read somebody from the 4th century. I'm reading a new translation of the Odyssey, which is 7-8 centuries before the Common Era. But at the same time, I'm reading Dean Burke's book, right? Anatomy of a Kidnapping. You can experience the lives just a little bit of other people through the pages of a book. It is one of the most reliable and life-changing technologies we have.
So amidst the challenges of modern medicine, especially for anybody who is in healthcare, what can books do for physicians?
I think part of what's changed about healthcare today is how alienating it is for both patients and practitioners and how impersonal it is. There's many benefits towards a push towards systems. But the problem with systems is that they're engrossing, they're encompassing, and you start thinking of yourself as tending to the system. I talked to the students about how you can see this because when the electronic health system goes down in a hospital, care seems to grind to a stop. In a contemporary office place, if the email server's out, if the internet's out, it's like, what do we do with ourselves? One advantage of a book is that it doesn't rely on a system. It's a kind of preserved conversation between the reader and the author and the other readers. And I wouldn't make the distinction that a book is a tool, whereas something like a smartphone or a computer today is a system. And I think tools are a more human scale.
Would you put music in somewhere the same place?
Oh, I can't imagine a world without music. It's one of the best things about West Texas, right? Is that it's a musical place.
Wonderful station has brought music to so many of our listeners.
Oh, it's such a gift. I would say as much as I love and admire reading, there are some things that words won't do for. Some things that a melody, a harmony can communicate that words never can. I can't imagine a life without music.
There's a real deep spiritual sense to books and music that you encourage all of our listeners, whatever their particular calling is, that we would encourage them to delve deeply into books and into music, and they will find their souls.
Yes, and in fact, honestly, if you had my mother on, she might tell you that music was more important to her than books in its own way. She's a great singer. She loves the Wesleyan hymn book and shape note singing. And
everyone, at this point, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few moments to continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. It's our delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Dr. Abraham M. Nussbaum. Abraham is with the medical school in Denver in psychiatry, intimately involved in the care of people and families who suffer from mental illness, at the same time in the training of medical students and residents. Abraham, I now want to talk a little about that wonderful book you have written, which is entitled The Finest Traditions of My Calling, One Physician's Search for the Renewal of Medicine, which is published by Yale University Press. And I would encourage our listeners this afternoon to get this wonderful book. Abraham, you wrote this book as a challenge within your own soul for meaning within your calling, within your profession. Let's begin with the challenges for physicians and for those both who give and receive within this noble calling. What do you see as the current challenges?
When I was a med student, I thought the challenge was learning all the information. There's so much we know about the body. Memorizing it, being able to then use it in practice seemed like the challenge. And it is a mighty challenge. But after 10 years or so of training, it becomes less challenging. The knowledge isn't the hard part. Knowledge is easy to come by today than it used to be. You can look things up quite easily. The challenge is enduring with people who are really suffering, being present to them. And the challenges are both the challenges that are always present with that. It's really hard to be with somebody who's hurting. But there's also ways in which our contemporary systems make them even harder than they used to be. There's really very fine physicians who, with good intentions, have decided that the problems with medicine is that it's not efficient enough, that it doesn't deliver the right treatment at the right time to the right person. I think there's an argument that they make that's reasonable. What I think's unreasonable is their solution, which is they say, look, we need to adopt systems that were designed in other industries for medicine. So without any sense of irony, they say, why can't we deliver medicine the way we build cars? Or with the same precision that we land airplanes on aircraft carriers? Why can't we, with the same precision that we prepare meals in a restaurant, do so in a hospital? The biggest problem that they just never seem to address is that all of those are analogies to inanimate objects. If a physician is like a technician building a car, what's the patient? If a physician is like a pilot landing a helicopter, what's the patient? If the physician's like a chef preparing a meal, what's the patient? The patient becomes the car that's being built, the helicopter that's being landed, or the meal that's being produced.
So with that challenge in mind, you propose what?
I propose books, right?
Yeah.
When you think back in your own life, you can identify a teacher, a coach, a parent, a mentor who helped you achieve something you couldn't achieve on your own. One way to think about what you would want a physician to do, instead of making analogies to inanimate objects like industrial engineering, you could make an analogy to teaching or coaching and say, how could you help a physician be the kind of person who helps you achieve health you could not achieve on your own? I think that there's a way that people talk about that kind of captain of a ship, pilot of a plane, the person with the hands on the wheel guiding it safely. That analogy works okay when you're doing kind of medical procedure that's under intense control, surgery, under anesthesia, when you're doing intensive care training. But you can have that kind of sense of, I'm turning all of the authority over to this physician while I'm under anesthesia. Yeah. Or they're engaged in a technical procedure. But most of medical care today is the care of people with chronic disease. Certainly in psychiatry, but in the rest of medicine, the care of people with diabetes, with high blood pressure, with chronic pain. Physician isn't like the captain of a ship steering you where you need to go. They're much more like a coach who's helping to try to help you make incremental changes in improvement and performance. Or like a teacher who's helping you to learn a new skill. Or sometimes when there's nothing to be done, somebody who's just a witness to your suffering.
Like in hospice and palliative care, which are elegant examples of those.
I think as you and I know, we both have some misgivings about some of the for-profit hospices and some of the changes in that. But the fundamental idea of hospice, that you would help somebody through their last journey and attend to them in that, I celebrate.
There's a wonderful saint, physician, caregiver that you claim as a model. Tell us a little about him.
There's a man named Basil, Basil of Caesarea, who is a hero of mine. Basil's a hero because he was both somebody who trained as a physician, but somebody who wanted to say, who needs care the most? And he specifically designed healthcare systems for the poor and the underserved. He would put healthcare facilities at the crossroads of a town, and he founded what we consider the first public hospital in Western society. He also founded what we consider to be the first public health department in Western society. And through his influence, other leading towns said, we want one of these too. So the whole idea of a public hospital, where I'm privileged to work in one today in Denver, the whole idea of public hospitals comes out of Basil's example that you should specifically welcome the indigent ill.
Hospitals locating at the crossroads of human experience, not some palaces on the hill, shall we say, or gleaming, whatever image comes to mind.
It's one of the biggest problems with healthcare today, right? There's a lot of wonderful people inside those gleaming palaces, but their doors ought to be open to the people who are more likely to get ill, and the people who are most likely to get ill are the indigent.
With a technological system superimposed on care, do you see that best basically as part of the struggle?
I think it depends. I'm not against technology.
I know you're not.
I think that it's important to recognize that it's one tool among many. And I think that the problem is that oftentimes we look only for technological solutions when sometimes there are less expensive, more human solutions available. My father, I told you I'm from Amarillo.
Yeah.
When it was time for me to learn to start mowing the lawn, he made me take apart the lawnmower to understand what it could and couldn't do and why it could cut my toes off if I wasn't careful and when to know when the spark plug was undone. And I guess part of what I'm encouraging physicians to do is take apart the lawnmower, take apart what these systems are about and understand really what they do and understand the limits of them. There's perfectly good times when you have a technological solution. A lot of times you don't need a technological solution. Part of the problem is we have all of our systems are designed to incentivize physicians to do temporary high technological interventions.
Not the long term.
If I sit down with you under most insurance plans and spend time counseling you on smoking cessation, I'm going to lose money. If on the other hand, you're a chronic smoker and you develop emphysema, I'll make money on the scans and the high class treatments. Even though we know that quitting smoking is the single best thing most people can do for their health. But we don't incentivize physicians to help people quit smoking.
Dave Brown, we'll take a short break and we'll continue after a few moments this wonderful conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Delighted this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest my friend, Dr. Abraham Nussbaum. Abraham, we were talking about renewing the inner life of healthcare physicians, of healthcare givers. In recent conversations, you told me of something that happened in your own department with your own staff and faculty in Denver about how you were able to revitalize and give hope and give a new life by prescribing books to your faculty.
I'm grateful to work at Denver Health. It's an amazing place because it is a place committed to the care of the indigent, and it has a great sense of collegiality. But like many places in healthcare, it's struggling to figure out how to navigate these changing waters. And for a time, we really focused on efficiency at all costs. And in doing so, we found that we kept burning out physicians. We had a period of time where physicians, when I started on the unit, would last 8 months before they'd quit the job. So I personally had this experience where I got a grant, which allowed me time off the floor to read and think and try to figure out what it means to be a doctor.
So you took the cure to your...
So I took the cure back to my colleagues. What we found was that by giving them less time on the floor and more time to read off the floor, paradoxically, their revenues went up, their quality metrics went up, their length of stay went down, and they voted with their feet. They've stayed on the job. Because, Tom, when you treat people like humans, either patients or physicians, they tend to like it.
Abraham, I'm so impressed in your book with stories of patients you have treated. They are examples of loving care. So would you care to a little reading from the book so that our listeners can get a flavor of it?
I want to read you the last section of the book. And this is about a favorite patient of mine that we call Gregorio. And I appreciate it. I think the best part about the book is the stories.
We are our stories.
Yes, I think that's the best part of being a physician is stories. So this is a story about Gregorio. It's the end of the book. After Gregorio eventually got better, he came back. He returned a month later. He asked to see me. He wanted to give his card to the nerd. I keep it on my desk. It's the standard size, a rectangle 3.5 by 2 inches, but it's oriented vertically, unlike most business cards. In the upper right-hand corner is his name, followed by his occupation and phone number. In the lower right-hand corner, there's a picture of Gregorio, his lips pursed, preparing to blast straight eights and push the rhythm. I can only hope to keep up with those who, like Gregorio, seek my help.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he was a musician, and so he wanted to be seen that way. He wanted to be seen as a musician, not just as a person with mental illness. Ultimately, part of what I'm trying to say here is that just like patients want to be seen as something more than just their illness, physicians are hurting too, and nurses and midwives and pharmacists, all the people in these big industry, because they're not being seen as people. And that's my push back against some of these industrial engineering techniques in medicine, is that they don't treat the patients and the practitioners as people.
As you look back over the people who influenced you in terms of being mentors and peers, who comes to mind?
Oh, I had a stubborn head. So there's a lot of people who had to work to bang sense into it. I have a school teacher in high school named Lassie Ortiz, who was a great mathematics teacher. Betsy Bolton at college taught me what it meant to really write. Stanley Harawas at Duke taught me how to combine different strands of thought. But if I had to pick anybody, I guess I'd probably pick my wife. She stuck with me through it all. She's a fellow physician and the mother of our three children, and I think she's probably been the most influential.
So you have mentors in your own life who speak to your soul and inspire and encourage and keep you going.
I do. I'm grateful that they put up with me.
If you were to share a word of inspiration with us, how would it read?
For the last decade, we've advised medical students to count something. That's been our advice to them. The leading advice from the leading physicians is count something and then work to make it better. My advice to people would be to see someone, to see them as a person, to see them as something more than quality metrics, billing codes, to really try to be present to a person.
Whatever one's calling is not necessarily just in medicine, but elsewhere too.
Absolutely. There's a lot of great things you can do with your life, but I think people will find that they'll be better at it and they'll be more satisfied in it if they develop relationships.
Does prayer and meditation enter into it?
It does for me. I think it does for many people. I think it's helpful to try to develop a relationship with something much larger than yourself.
Prayer and meditation enhances the castle within or the...
Indeed.
Abraham, it's been an absolute delight having you with us this Sunday afternoon to share these precious moments with us. Again, for our listeners, the book that Abraham has written, The Finest Traditions of My Calling, One Physician's Search for the Renewal of Medicine, which is published by the Yale University Press. I would encourage you to get this book because it's a wonderful read and very inspiring, at the same time very challenging. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure to be here and back in West Texas.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.